Welcome, everybody, to the first Top 5 Top 5, talking NFL 2020 draft, specifically the QBs today. I'm your host, IBS Jesus, and my guest today is the commissioner himself, R.C. Carlton. How you doing, R.C.?
I'm good. You can call me Ronnie. You don't have to do my public name. You know, you knew me when.
All right, Ronnie.
That's actually my preferred name, believe it or not. But my family calls me R.C., But the Saltines called me Ronnie, but it got mixed up in the internet world.
And then, well, I mean, I got 20 names, so I can't say anything.
Yeah, you definitely can't.
So we're gonna go position by position, but just specifically this episode, we're focusing on QBs. So I try not to like do too intensive of a film study because we want to cover the top five and then also add in another that we know that people want to talk about. So I'm not trying to do a whole lot of runtime. So we'll go ahead and jump into it. We will basically rank our quarterbacks in the top five. We'll start with number one and work our way down, and then we'll discuss the pros and cons of those quarterbacks and where we see their career path in regards to, are they a franchise quarterback or potential franchise quarterback? Could they be just like a filler for franchise in between, et cetera. So we'll start with what I think everybody considers the consensus number one, Joe Burrow, quarterback from LSU. Ronnie, what are the things that you like about Joe?
Well, I like that he just had the greatest season that ever existed in the history of college football. But I think to put that down, the reasons why he had it, and people say, oh, it's receivers and da-da-da-da. No, not really. It's because his poise, his calm, his ability to read defenses, his ability to get through progressions, his ability to always keep his head up looking to make a play. Not only does he excel on just the timing and anticipation routes, the short passing game, or just knowing exactly when to take the shot deep, but the second reaction plays are what make him special. He's made some plays where the play was lost, and then he makes something out of nothing. Then you use that and the intangibles, and you've got the making of a special quarterback. He is just a quarterback. You don't look at all the, like they say, guys are football players. He's just a quarterback. He has the mental traits of a quarterback.
Yeah, when you look at Joe on film, there's nothing that really stands out athletically. I mean, he's above average speed, but he's not a razzle dazzle. I mean, his arm strength is above average, but it's not Patty Mahomes or in this particular class, it's not Jordan Love or even Tua. I thought Tua had a better deep ball as far as the strength and velocity on the passes. But the head part, the mental game of Joe Burrow is what separates him from everybody else, I think, in this class. And I know a lot of people are skeptical. I mean, honestly, when you look at his stats, like you said, he had one of the greatest seasons ever. When you look at Joe Burrow from 2018 to Joe Burrow in 2019, it's almost too good to be true. But I think football minds understand when you get talent and you mix it with coaching and the coaching brings out that full potential, this is essentially what you get in the product of this player is the max ceiling in the collegiate level. He was the max ceiling that he could possibly get. They couldn't squeeze any more talent or results out of Joe Burrow than what they got last year. So, I mean, you got to give Brady credit, but when you watch the film, it's hard to argue that Burrow isn't playing his part. He's leading this team. And I think one of the big things that separates him from the rest of this class is his understanding of anticipation of routes and his in real time analyzing of defenses and plays. And that's something that from 2018 to 2019, he didn't really get asked to do a lot of, but the fact that he was able to pick that up in 2019 and make it work the way that he did, you have to give credit to the player in that case. Do you agree?
100%.
So is there anything that stands out that would scare you a little about Joe? I mean, I think, you know, the old school way of analyzing pre-draft and things like that, people were talking about his hand size. But I mean, honestly, from a mechanical standpoint, from a result standpoint, is there anything that you could say or criticize about Joe?
Going to Cincinnati, because I think honestly, I think it's a 50-50 shot, because we know, and fans miss it a lot of the times, but it's so much about the fit, man. Even Pat Mahomes, who's this transcendent talent, without Reed, I don't know what happens. If Pat Mahomes goes to Buffalo, is he going to have the same success? I honestly don't know. So much of it is about finding the right situation to take advantage of your skill set and just to be in a healthy environment. It's almost like raising a kid. Like, you have to bring up your quarterback a certain way and surround him with the things that are giving him success. Cincinnati does not have a history of doing that. That's literally my biggest concern, is that the dysfunction of the Bengals, not him. And the same thing, and he did not succeed when they didn't take advantage of his that's, I don't blame him. I blame Ogeron for 2018. Yeah. You didn't set him up for success, and Cincinnati could do the same thing very easily.
Yeah, schematically speaking, it just wasn't a good look for the talent that he had. And granted, he wasn't showing the all-world potential at that time. But again, good coaching, a system, something that he's comfortable with, somebody that he can relate to, speak his language, et cetera, just comfort in general can really bring out the best in the player, and he got that in 2019. And you're right, there should be concerns amongst Burrow backers of going into the situation in Cincinnati. But to Cincinnati's credit, they have kept weapons around him to utilize. It's just a matter of who's going to be drawing up these plays and asking him to perform, and will they ultimately support him? Because, I mean, he's got A.J. Green coming back. They franchised him. He's still got Joe Mixon, who's an awesome dual threat back. He's got Ross with a lot of speed. Even though he drops the ball a lot, he still has somebody that can stretch the field between A.J. and Ross. And then he's got Boyd underneath, who does pretty good work. Chris route runner, definitely a good safety net. You like to see them find a tight end and bolster up the offensive line. But ultimately, if you think about the past couple of quarterbacks, let's say Baker Mayfield, let's say Kyler Murray, I would say that Joe Burrow is coming into a whole lot better situation than they did.
I don't know. I don't know. And if you're looking at what they had on the field the first year, I can say that, but I still look at it holistically as the organization. Mm-hmm. And I guess you can't say Cleveland, because that was such a mess for Baker. But like Greg Williams started coaching the team, it did start working. It gave Baker the chance to be the superstar for six games. And then with Kyler Murray, I mean, what better situation than like everybody, like the coach that's throbbed for you since high school, finally gets to coach you and builds everything around you. So, I mean, I think both those situations have their good and bad. I think it's all about the same, honestly, to me.
Okay. So let's roll into – oh, actually, I mean, it goes without saying. He's going number one overall. I would assume we both consider him to be a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think I was trying to look at doing, like, a new grading system or using the NFL.com grading system, which is really confusing. I'd rather do, like, 0 to 100, but because they have, like, 8.0 and 7.6. But I definitely do think he's a franchise quarterback. He has a chance to be, like, a consistent Pro Bowler. I mean, he has the off chance to be, like, great, you know, all-time great. But who wants to put that on somebody? But he definitely has a chance to be a franchise quarterback, Pro Bowl caliber.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be that bad. And again, if anybody wants more of a insightful or longer explanation, they can always just inbox me or at me on Facebook or at Ronnie, and we'll give you that. But I think there's enough info out on Burrow. It's all positive, not a lot of negatives. So it's not really anything to overanalyze. He's good. Coming in ranked number two in this class, for me, I'm going Tua. I didn't look up how to say his last name again, but I think it's Tagovailoa is how
he said it. You got
pronounced it. Yeah, all right. So Tua Tagovailoa, quarterback, Alabama. Is he your number two quarterback in this draft as well?
He is also my number two quarterback. I just think it's very you can't intellectually look at the film and say that there is that there are two quarterbacks in this draft class better than him, or that anybody besides Burrow is better than him.
Yeah, and that's how I feel. In looking at the other guys that we're going to talk about later, if Burrow is as close to perfect as you can get, then Tua is as close to almost perfect as you can get. I think the main concern will always be the injury concerns with him and his injury history coming in. But mechanically, it's not all that bad. I love his deep ball. I love that he's willing to pull the trigger. I think that's also something that I didn't mention with Burrow that I see with Tua and Joe in general that separates them from everybody else except for maybe Jordan Love, is that these two guys, the top two guys, Joe Burrow and Tua, they're not afraid to pull the trigger on back shoulder throws, on airing it out, but they put the ball in space and adjust on the fly on their throws to allow their receivers to make plays. Like they understand that concept. They understand that if I'm running a corner route and the defender has his back to me, I can place it over the outside shoulder to make it easier for my receiver to catch the ball or place it further into the back of the end zone so he can run underneath of it. Things like that, like the little nuances. When you watch the film of Joe and Tua, you will see that there are very few, very, very few plays where you're like, man, if he just hits this guy, it's going for six, that they don't actually just hit that guy and it goes for six. And I think that's the key to making your calling as a starter in the NFL. You really don't get that many chances to take a shot or make a defense pay. And these guys possess that talent where they, you know, if you slip up, they're going to catch you. And it's not just on their wide receiver one. I mean, I've seen on film where they've progressed back across the field and made people pay because somebody fell asleep. So they keep you honest. And I think that's something that you can't necessarily coach up per se. And you would want your franchise quarterback to come in with that ability to do it. I'll start with a gripe about Tua. And I know that you and I have kind of discussed this in passing, and I think it was something that really frustrated Nick Saban at times. Tua is very greedy when it comes to his throws. I would assume that comes from confidence that he doesn't see a lot of people that can really stop him in regards to, like, defending passes that he throws. But there were times this year, for sure, it kind of showed up where checkdowns were necessary and he wouldn't do it. Like he would just force it deep. And in big games, not against a Mississippi or somebody like that, but against the LSU, it kind of became an issue because then they're turning the ball over and now they're behind the eight ball. And that defense wasn't that good this year. They were giving up a ton of points week in, week out. So when they got behind another good offensive team, they couldn't necessarily catch up. Does that bother you a little bit? Did you see any of that when you were watching film?
I see a guy, yeah, that will just force it a little bit too much and play a little hero ball and get away with it. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because it's catch-22, whereas when we get to Jalen Hurts, like, I feel like the hero ball isn't as productive. But I see a lot of plays for Tua where the hero ball is productive. So it's hard to find that balance when you say, hey, stop doing this. But so often it works. I know in the NFL, you can't go broke making a profit. So he's just going to have to take the easy play at the check down, and especially with his injury history, just allow the players to do what they're supposed to do. He's basically a point guard. He's a distributor. He's very good at that. He gets the progression. He puts the ball in people's hands on stride. He gets the ball where they want it. And that's what he needs to focus on. I think he does need to be slightly more conservative when the play goes off schedule. So I do agree with you on that.
Yeah, I would say ultimately, if we're talking about the true difference in Joe Burrow and Tua as far as what you want out of a prospect, if we're analyzing the two and comparing the two, I would say it's the consistency. Like, I saw more consistent NFL-level plays in regards of reading, recognizing the throws and positioning of the passes, et cetera, from Joe this year than I saw from Tua. There was a slight inconsistency. Like, we're talking, if Joe's an A, then or an A+, then Tua's like a B+, you know, like it's or yeah. A-, something like that. Like A-, it's not necessarily problem. It's not a knock per se, but there are I think Burrow's place at the top is legit, and Tua's place at second is fine. But it's not one of those situations where, as a GM, me, like, saying if I had to choose between trading away two or three picks just to move up to get Joe, or sitting in my spot, i.e. if I'm Miami, and getting Tua, I'd probably sit and wait for Tua. I don't really think it'll be that big of a gap. Do you buy into this notion that Tua wouldn't be as good if he didn't have those receivers? Like, I get it. He has some weapons for sure. But like you were mentioning earlier, like, if you look at how he's throwing the ball on time, how he's throwing guys open at times, like, I feel like people don't get enough credit for positioning of passes anymore. I feel like people just think, well, Judy is a first-round wide receiver. Riggs runs a 4.2. Like, anybody could do that. Like, no. Like, you got to give him credit. Like, the shots he took and things like that, I feel like you have to see that if you really watch the games. Do you think that Tua's, I guess, given not enough credit for the Bama offensive success?
I think it's just people looking at nitpick at him. I've seen that come up more. But he was already a top prospect before that. He's been a top prospect since high school. Mm-hmm. You know, his freshman year, he was badly who would do. The year after that, everybody said, tank for Tua. So it's not – it's just a point where people want to tear him down. Like, when I look at a guy and he's running an in route, or he's running a shallow cross or a slant or whatever, and if you're hitting him in stride and he runs 80 yards, well, you've done your part. Like, that's good. You read the defense. You can see him getting to – if he never got through multiple progressions but he does all the time, I would say that. But he reads defenses. He makes tough throws. Obviously, he's going to be enhanced by – every good quarterback is enhanced by his receivers. But do you make the throws that are necessary? Do you read the defenses? Do you get through your progressions? That's how you can tell how well you're doing, because that will wither away when you can't get through the progressions and read defenses.
Yeah, and I think Joe and Tua both are the best progression reading quarterbacks in this draft, so that also separates them. One other thing, too, is that when I was talking about the whole, like, you referred to it as hero ball, I would definitely suggest that people go back through and just take a look at some of the big games where Bama had to have, like, shootouts and stuff. Like, you'll see it. Like, you'll definitely see some frustration on Nick's face when there were times where Tua just aired it out, and I don't think that's really what they intended. And there was always a more reasonable check down. So that's something to keep an eye on when he gets to the league, because turnovers – they kind of matter, especially in situations where the defense isn't playing good. These are the types of games that you want to see your quarterback kind of pull out. And so it's just something just to keep an eye on, I think, as his career progresses, if that will change. So rolling into the number three spot for you, who's your number three quarterback in this draft?
It's Jordan Love.
Okay, all right. So we actually agree on that. I will say it wasn't Jordan Love until I started watching for this particular show, and then I changed it. The DraftNetwork.com has Justin Herbert at number three and Jordan Love at number four. So I disagree with that. Why do you think Jordan Love is the third best quarterback, or why would you put him above Herbert, Fromm, and Hurts?
Love is really frustrating. And I had a really negative view of him when I first watched him. And then I took a second look, and then I started watching the other guys. And I'm like, you know, of the rest of the guys, besides the first two, he has the most to work with. He has a very strong arm, you know, his balance as well. But what I like most about him is that – well, not most. I think the thing that sets him apart is that he can sustain an offense. Not only can make the big plays, and he makes some really bad plays – but he can distribute the ball. He'll drop back and throw short passes and cut a defense up. And granted, he'll make mistakes, but he can consistently keep the offense moving. Whereas I don't see the other ones being able to do that except for Fromm, but his arm is really weak, so he doesn't have the physical tool that you're looking for.
Yeah, that's ultimately what I was thinking when I watched the film. I was just like, you know, if I'm looking for potential, like something I can work with in the future, I do like Jordan Love more than I like Herbert, Hurts, and Fromm. The thing that stood out for me with Love is just the I need gutsy quarterbacks. I know, like you said, it is a catch 22 when we're talking about gutsy quarterbacks. I'd rather have a guy take a shot here and there than to constantly check down too quick. And watching Herbert likes to run too quick for me in the pocket. Fromm likes to hold the ball too long for me. And then Hurts also likes to hold the ball too long as well. I feel like you stand a better chance at somebody that's at least willing to let the ball go. Now, Patty Mahomes had this issue in college where he would just throw it no matter what. He was just going to do it. And some of that is in Jordan Love. And I think that and the fact that he's willing to air it like 70 yards down the field if he can get it down there, I think that's what makes people think, oh, this is like a Patty light. I'm not willing to put that on him because I watched a lot of Patrick Mahomes in college, and he was special. His arm was special. Like, it's the angles he would throw from, the distance he would get on the ball. Like, it's always been that way to me. And I didn't see anything special about Jordan Love, but I did see the potential there to be a good NFL quarterback. When looking at Jordan Love, I think the biggest critique I got on him is his balance when he throws. I don't know if you noticed, his front foot is like really far out. It's not a good base. Like, if you look at Tua, you look at Joe Burrow, I think is like picture perfect when it comes to like a good base to get everything you can get behind a throw. And you look at Tua, it's not much of a variation there either. Jordan Love's front foot just kind of seems to get too extended. So it to me gives the impression that the ball can sail a little, especially if we're talking about plays where he's kind of forced to make a throw quicker than he would like. And I don't know if you watched any of his lowlights, I don't call them highlights, but like his interceptions and stuff. I thought that was a huge thing with his technique, like his throwing technique. A lot of times when passes were undercut on out routes or corner routes, it was because his front foot wasn't under him good enough and he didn't get as much on the ball. And it really affected the velocity. And that little nuance was the difference between the ball going over the shoulder or underneath for an interception. It really showed up in the Wake Forest game a couple of times.
If you want to find some bad tape, he has the best, I put this in air quotes, he has the best bad tape out there is. It is, he has some horrible throws, and I think, like you're saying, a lot of it is mechanical. I think it's been about 2 months since I look at it, but a lot of it was just mechanics. It was trying to do too much, but just not being fundamentally sound. And I know there were some coaching changes, and maybe there could be that. I know he didn't have a lot of help, and so sometimes you have a tendency to force things like that. So I think these things can be corrected, but I also don't give people a pass because what tape shows is what tape shows.
Yeah. I think before I looked, I had him as like a project. So I probably had him about like fourth or fifth. But after watching, I think there's definitely something to work with there. In regards, I guess, Tua, we would consider a franchise quarterback as well. I mean, they're typically the top two in the draft. You would consider that. Where do you see Jordan Love? Because I've got Jordan Love as somebody I think could benefit from sitting on the bench for a year and coming in Patty Mahomes style. But I don't want him starting day one.
He definitely needs to sit. To me, he's a boom or bust kind of project. And you just – not quite project, because project is like a fourth or fifth round guy who's never going to get in. But I don't think you can play him immediately. I think you've got to get him in a very structured system, and he can learn that system. And then he can learn how to beat the system or cheat the system and use some of that arm strength or the dynamic throws that he does, he is capable of, be around a really good offensive mind. Because I think if he goes somewhere where they have an average system as far as the quarterback coach, the offensive coordinator, the head coach, and the way they deal with quarterbacks, he's not going to do well. So, like, if he had the same support system that Haskins has in D.C., whether it was Gruden or Rivera now, he's not going to thrive. He's going to need it doesn't have to be as good as Pat Mahomes' system, you know, the support system, but he's going to need a solid support system to thrive.
Yeah. I agree. You definitely want to try to stick him in a situation where he can come in and have vets around him, not come in with like a team that's still rebuilding. Would you spend the first round pick on Jordan Love?
That's so tough. Like in my mock, I have the Patriots taking him. Like in my mock of what I thought they would do and in my mock of what I think they should do, they end up going to the Patriots. Man, I go back and forth. I could not. I think once you draft a quarterback, you saddle with that guy for about 5 years, and you're probably, that's your job on the line. And so from what I've seen, I would not risk my job for Jordan Love. I mean, maybe if you're getting him at the end of the first round, then you might not get fired if you don't do it, but or the second round. But I don't. Like, I like Drew Lock better. Like, I wouldn't have him that high as a prospect if I was comparing him to quarterbacks from other years. There are a lot of other quarterbacks more recently that I've liked, so I would not. I mean, I don't have anything against him, but that's not somebody I'd roll the dice on. Unless I had, if I had an Alex Smith situation where I already had a quarterback that was pretty solid, and then you could take him, something like that, like Pittsburgh or I can't think of anybody else, but a quarterback, a team that has a solid veteran, but that's not great, then maybe that can groom him.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't have him as a first round projection at all if it was any other draft class, but I mean, it's one of those situations. It is kind of tough. If my job's on the line, I probably wouldn't want to do it either. But if I'm, say, the Chargers, and I come back around in the second round and he's there, I would definitely use my second round pick on him, because I'm pretty sure they got a pretty early second round pick. If I'm the Patriots, I actually like Justin Herbert a little bit more for their system than I do Jordan Love. Even though I think Jordan Love is the better prospect, I think certain quarterbacks thrive in a Patriot system, and I feel like he would be better suited for it. But anybody after 20 decides to pick him up, why do I think Justin Herbert would be better? Well, because Herbert can throw people open across the middle a lot better than he can anywhere else on the field from what I've seen. His best work comes from passes in the middle, a lot of crossing routes and things like that. I feel like Jordan Love's best throws come outside the numbers a little bit more than across the middle of the field. And I feel like Herbert is the type of quarterback that if you don't ask a lot out of him, he can be successful. And I think, you know, the Patriots don't ask, or the Patriots won't ask a lot out of whoever takes over for Tom Brady. I think they're going to want to go a different route and have more playmakers around said quarterback. I mean, they milked Tom Brady for what, 20 years? I mean, it's going to be hard to get that back. So I think they're going to take a more traditional concept of putting talent around a quarterback, letting that quarterback build himself up, and then not paying that talent like they did with Tom Brady for so long, and then switching people in and out and so forth. But they've got to go through that process of building up a quarterback again, and I feel like Justin Herbert's better suited for that system. And since we're going in there, I got Herbert at fourth, so I'll just start. I'm pretty sure you got Herbert after Love.
Yeah, he's
okay
for me too.
So I say all that about Herbert just because he was a senior on a team that returned a lot of starters, and that team didn't really get any better. And I put a lot of blame on Herbert, not on the system or Oregon's coaching, because he's a senior. He was projected to be one of the first quarterbacks off the board in the draft of 2019. And so you've got these expectations, and it seemed like when things were simple or simplified, he shined. But the minute somebody threw a wrinkle or something like that, it kind of threw him off. And I feel like Oregon tried to work more outside the hashes than they used to do in years past, and I think that hurt him a little bit. I didn't get to see a lot of his 2018 season, but I can tell you personally, not even looking at numbers, I'm talking simply about what I saw in Oregon games last year, there was regression. And that's scary for anybody that's looking, especially if you had this kid on your board going top three last year, and then this year you're like, he's not even top three QB in general. That's scary, you know? So it makes you wonder about his future. But I think he's got the athletic ability. I can see why people think Josh Allen. I was a big Josh Allen guy, but I can definitely see why people think Josh Allen when they see him. I just think also that he has the potential to be more accurate than Josh. His footwork is a little choppy. JT O'Sullivan likes to say toesy, which I like that term because he is on the balls of his feet a lot. And because of that, he doesn't necessarily get what he wants behind the ball. It also creates issues with his arm angle when he throws because he's off balance sometimes when he throws. His feet are not always set. But that's something you can easily coach. You can easily coach. I'm not scared that he comes from Oregon. I think he's a more traditional quarterback than we've seen come out of Oregon in a while. What was the dude, JT Harrington or something like that? Is it JT Harrington or Harrington, whatever that guy's name was?
Joey.
Yeah. Yeah. A more athletic version of him is what I see. And I don't think – and that's being, like, bare floor, like the bottom floor of him is a more athletic version of him. And so I'm not too upset with that. What's your pros and cons on Herbert?
I mean, I think it's funny because we always will be but the draft process falls in love with these big guys that can make supposedly all the throws. And obviously, so he's got the size, he's got the strength, he's got the athleticism. So if you get a builder player and you were just doing the physical attributes that before you delve really deep into it on the mad profiles, like close accuracy and things like that, but if you're just doing straight arm strength, size, you know, and all that, he's the perfect quarterback. But then when you look at that film and you say, well, one thing, well, why did he come back? He wasn't ready. And then when he did come back, he didn't perform up to expectations. There's just something missing about him. You watch those games, and sometimes without even looking at the film, just watching him play, and he just comes up short. You look at that last play against Auburn and that drive, and he throws it out the back of the end zone. It's just something there intangibly, mentally, is not there with the kid. And you see it, and he did have a good game in the Rose Bowl, and he had a good game in the Pac-12 championship game. But I would also say that the general season's pressure was over. That was just like an afterthought, you know. And I know the Pac-12, people could say, oh, it's the Rose Bowl. No. But no, it wasn't the same amount of pressure. We saw him play against Auburn, and he doesn't show up. He has a problem with showing up for big games. And his mechanics, it's just something that's not right. Like, mentally, it just doesn't click. And, you know, I like him. He seems like a really good kid and everything. And I think, like Josh Allen, if you can find a way to minimize his weaknesses and maximize his strengths in your system, you could be successful. He has a good running game, like Josh Allen does, and a good defense, and you minimize this guy's mistakes. You got a chance to be an 8-10 win team, but he is just going to be, you know, 15-20% of it, as opposed to where you might want your quarterback to be 35-40% of it if you have a good quarterback. So that's where I see him. But I do, in some way, he's safer because I think his floor is higher than Jordan Love, because I don't think he's going to be bad if the coach has a brain. I don't think he's going to be bad if the coach uses him correctly.
Yeah, I just didn't like some of the rush for him to either check down or run. It really bothered me, especially when we're talking about somebody that that has experience. I mean, he's a senior. The only other person that I had that gripe with was Eason. When I watched this film, like, the checkdowns are just way too quick. Like, you got to let stuff develop sometimes. I mean, to me, that shows that you're antsy in the pocket if you're checking down and you don't have to check down per se. You still have at least like another second or two. And when we're talking about a second, we're talking about the difference between sometimes a 5-yard pass and a 20-yard strike. You know, like, things change so quickly. I just need to see a little bit more patience with him. I think I mentioned to you off the record, mechanically, I was disgusted in the fact that he was a senior and we're not talking about the ball flip, because Jacob Fromm's ball flip is even worse. It's just like his footwork, like heel clicks consistently, choppy feet, just too antsy and really like green to me. And I get it. Oregon and college football in general, there's so many intricate things going on in collegiate offenses that you're not always going to get sound mechanics. But there are just some fundamental things that when you're dropping back the pass, you just can't do. And while his arm angle is fine at times, I think a lot of that comes from the baseball background where, like, literally he's used to throwing from any angle. That helps, but, like, get your feet under you because that really helps on your accuracy. When we're talking about throwing passes outside the hash and we're talking about back shoulder fades and throwing over defenders across the middle, things like that, if your feet are not set, it makes things unpredictable. And then that's when we get turnovers. And Herbert's turnovers have a tendency to come in his biggest games. That's been his MO of his career. So
just disappointing. You know, for all of his attributes, he's just disappointing. And I could see where somebody would like to hold on to the good stuff, but to me, he's just disappointing.
Yeah. Where do you see his projection? Do you think he could be a franchise QB, or is he kind of in between franchise QB and like potential backup career-wise?
I mean, game manager, I think mm-hmm. he can be – I think if he goes to the perfect situation – well, it's funny, too, because if he goes to the perfect situation, I think it can be like Josh Allen. You know, I think there's a lot of similarities. I think he is more refined as a quarterback than Josh Allen is, but I think there's a lot of situation similarities. But he could also be, as far as not necessarily attributes or the style, but the way they play, I mean, the way it ends out, the production is like Mariota, where they never really figure out how to use him correctly, and it just doesn't work out. So I think that's a spectrum from Josh Allen's career to Mariota's career.
Yeah, I like that comparison, Josh Allen to Mariota. That's definitely along the lines of what I expect from him. Switching over to the fourth QB, who you have as your fourth best quarterback? Fifth best.
Fifth is really tough for me. I don't want to be held to this because I don't like five of these quarterbacks. I really only like two of them. And I see starting level attributes from four of them where they could have success. So I guess my fifth guy is Fromm. I'm not in love with Fromm, but I think the quarterback is a mental position. And of all the quarterbacks, possibly all of them, but certainly of the ones that are left, he has the best mental attributes and ability to run an offense. And if you're looking for a game manager, is not a bad word. I know in hot take culture it is, but if you get a game manager on your team, you're going to win more than you lose.
Yeah. So I always say this about Fromm, and I'm sticking to this. The man can't throw outside the numbers. It's terrible. It's not good. That limitation to me is so obvious on film that it has to be corrected. I don't know how he changes it, if it's a mechanical thing or if he just honestly doesn't have the arm strength for it. At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. He just cannot limit himself in today's game. You cannot limit yourself to not being able to throw the ball 20, 25 yards down the field accurately. Especially outside the numbers, you have to stretch defenses vertically with all the speed and things that they can do. If they can press up and not have to worry about you being able to beat them deep, you can make it really tough for your entire offense, your running back, tight ends, everybody, you know? So you have to show that ability and you have to show that consistently. And I didn't get that from Fromm. I'm putting Fromm at fifth because I don't like Eason. I don't like Hurts. And honestly, I feel a little sorry for Fromm. I feel like he's been done a disservice in his collegiate career. I don't think he received good coaching at Georgia. I was watching, I told you about it. I was watching the like the QB report or something with JT O'Sullivan, and he specifically stopped the analysis to express that he did not like what he saw out of play designs in Georgia, and that it was difficult to really say how good Fromm was because the man didn't get no help from the play design. Like, Georgia has amazing athletes, and he noted that. He's like, Georgia's got athletes. You watch the Georgia versus LSU game, and it's just a disservice to the kids on the field that they really didn't get it. They were never given an opportunity to showcase that they could compete with Georgia, I mean, with LSU on an athletic scale. Like, they had a 3rd-and-7. I screenshot it and put it in the group. There was a 3rd-and-7 where they ran 2 receivers deep and then tried to run like a post or something with a tight end. Like, that was how they tried to beat one of the most athletic and fastest defenses in the nation with 3 receivers. They were covering them with 7 people. Like, I mean, what do you expect? And then the worst part was they covered him with 7, and I guess the, like, linebacker or corner or something in the slot, like, he got bored because he didn't have anybody to cover, so he just opted to blitz. Like, he just opted to go out to Fromm. It was so delayed. It was so timid. But Fromm couldn't do anything because he couldn't move in the pocket. The pocket was collapsing around him. And when he tried to step up, this extra guy came in because he didn't have anybody to cover, and he ends up getting a sack. And it's like, dude, it's just a disservice to the kid. I think Fromm could potentially have a successful NFL career. I'm not saying Hall of Fame or Pro Bowl or anything like that. But I feel like if he's given proper coaching, he could definitely – find a way to make a team happy. You use the word game manager. I can see that for sure. I kind of see him on the same level as a Kirk Cousins. I don't know if you saw that a lot, but like to the point where when he does find a way to pass the ball downfield, when he does take his shots, it'll be just as inconsistent. But if he's got the speed, he's not scared to throw it. It just won't be that accurate.
Yeah, I can see some Cousins in him. I definitely can see that. I see a little bit of Andy Dalton as well.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that. But again, it's so much about, I know I keep saying this, but it's so much about the scheme and the situation. And if anybody's telling you that they know how great these guys are going to be, they're lying. All you can do is say, hey, these are the attributes I see. This is the kind of system they would fit in. You know, if he went to some kind of West Coast system, and was able to sharpen some of his skills, some of the nuances of playing quarterback at the NFL level, he could be a mid-tier guy, I think. But I don't think the chances of that are high, but it's possible.
And then as a parting shot, anybody who wants to challenge me on the fact that I say Kirby Smart is a trash coach, go look at Jake Fromm high school and look at Jake Fromm last year in Georgia. Mechanically, he's still the same person. That's trash. That's trash. And I don't know how or why they allowed that double ball flip. I don't know if you saw that. JT O'Sullivan pointed it out. I had only seen one, but then when he slowed it down, there are 2 flips in a lot of his dropbacks. That's got to stop. They just can't be that way. I personally don't like anybody flipping the ball like that at the NFL level, considering how a lot of times in today's schemes, they leave guys unblocked just you know, for the sake of getting the ball out quickly. They'll leave an end or a linebacker or somebody off. They'll slide the line and leave somebody unblocked. You don't have time to flip the ball forward and backwards to find the laces. Like, bro, you got to find them things immediately, you know? And there's still some issues with his mechanics on his footwork, where it's unfortunate that they're still there and he's not the swiftest of people. So he's got to learn proper footwork back there, as well as how to effectively slide in the pocket, because he's not going to outrun anybody at the next level.
Bye-bye.
So it's like you would think they would teach some of that stuff in college, or at least notice it, especially in a conference like the SEC. I mean, they're playing some good defensive fronts and some good defenses, quote-unquote good defenses. But there's talent there, enough talent to challenge you to better yourself. And I just didn't see a lot, like, to me, the saddest thing about my analysis of Fromm, and the reason why I'm still hanging on to this, is because out of all these kids that I watched, he's the only person that I could truly say, the first time I ever saw him play, he looked a lot better than what I see now. I can't even say that about Hurts. And I don't like Hurts. Yeah. So that bothers me. And like I said, I just hope he goes to a team that has a good coach.
Who was your fifth quarterback?
All right, so my fifth quarterback was Fromm. It was almost Eason, but it did, like, Eason does like this chop shuffle thing when he gets into his last step, and I can't with that. Not only does he do that, but then he throws the ball immediately to the first person he sees that's open, no matter what the play call is, and it's typically a running back. I can't, not at the college level. I watched a lot of Washington offense. I understand that it's not the most vertically demanding offense, but Peterson ain't going that much side to side, man. I mean, they're running some good route combinations. It's people getting open out there, and he just wasn't seeing it. And I mean, he's the guy who lost his spot to Fromm, so I can't put him ahead of Fromm. So
he's another big arm guy, big guy,
yeah.
But doesn't have
the arm's definitely
big. Of the game. He can make the highlight throws, but he's really reliant on his arm, and his lower body mechanics suffer because of it. He doesn't I can't say he doesn't feel, but from when you watch the tape in the game, it shows that he has more confidence in his arm than he does his ability to read defenses. And basically he just goes out there and says, I'm going to squeeze it in there no matter what, and I just don't think that's a successful quarterback.
Yeah, and we can end on who I think is the worst of the best quarterbacks in this draft. I'm not going to shy away from it. I'm not trying to be critical. It's not racist because I'm black. Jalen Hurts is not good. He's not good. He's not good. He's not good. He's not good. And we're talking not good at the next level, like the NFL level. He's a decent college quarterback, but every criticism that he's faced in regards to his ability at the next level is justified. Justified. I've never seen anybody leave so many points on the table. And we're talking about a team that was scoring like 40 a game, and I'm still criticizing that he's leaving points on the field against Kansas and Oklahoma State and things like that. I'm like, dude, there was a play, Ronnie, there was a play in the Kansas game where they ran a combination. They ran a post in the corner, right? The cornerback is on CeeDee Lamb. And he's got I don't know what zone coverage he's in, but I know he's got a zone. But somehow, some way, CeeDee turned this man backwards. Like, you can see the back of his jersey. I can see his number on the tape. Hurts is looking directly at CeeDee, does not throw the ball. Like, there's nobody else on that side of the field. He's looking at him, doesn't throw the ball. And CeeDee's waving his arm because he's running past the guy, because the guy's back is to him, and he's running past him, and he's waving his arm. The ball never got there. And it's not all that bad, but there are so many times where in that offense, people are running wide open, and he's not throwing the ball. And then when he throws the ball, his placement on the passes are behind people, too low, the velocity's off. It's just too much going on.
This is an example of what they were saying about Tua. Is this? He has been made to look very good with basically, generally speaking, mediocre quarterback play outside of his playmaking ability. But just as an actual quarterback has to make throws, to go through progressions, and do the job of a quarterback, he is not. He is average at best. You're talking about receivers, like just first of all, his release is too elongated, so he's got it's too long, it's too slow. He doesn't have good pocket presence. A lot of times these guys have to adjust or jump too high or just can't even get the balls that he's throwing he misses checkdowns. He leaves the pocket too quick. There's just so many bad things on film that are basic NFL traits that you don't see him exhibiting. And it's kind of scary that a lot of people are high on him.
Yeah, it is scary that people are high on him. And I don't think there's enough history in Heisman-winning quarterbacks or Heisman-contending quarterbacks that you would feel compelled to just automatically assume they're going to be successful at the next level, because mechanically there's just nothing good about him. The best attribute about Jalen Hurts that I could see is that he's a winner. And you could say that about Tebow. You could say that about Vince Young when he came out. Like, we were winners in college. That's great. Neither of those careers translated to much at the NFL level. And I just think he's not that big. His arm talent is not that great. And like you said, it's just too much to work on, honestly. I would be surprised if he's drafted in the first four rounds. I really would be. Like, I'm just being that critical.
Jeremiah and Bucky keep saying that they're going to be first two rounds. He's going to get drafted. One of the first top 50. That's what Jeremiah said. I just don't see how that could happen. Because if you look at Lamar Jackson and you look at Jalen, like, how could you even think that's the same player outside of they both are black and they both run? Like, what Lamar can do is so special from a running perspective, and the way Lamar can pass. Like, Jalen will never be the kind of passer that Lamar is or even was running a Louisville system in college. So Lamar was actually asked to go through pro reads and progressions. Probably with Lamar, he's throwing outside the numbers, his mechanics on that. That's like an odd Achilles heel. But the rest of it is there. This guy is the whole body. He's not the heel as far as his weaknesses go.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't understand. You know, we see this every year in the draft. People get behind somebody and they just run with it. I mean, I like who I like sometimes, but I don't see how you can stretch Jalen Hurts into a top 50 pick, man. Like, it's like top 50 pick. Yeah, that's asking a lot, man. That's asking a lot. If I'm drafting somebody in the top 50, I'm expecting them to be ready to start within 2 years minimum. He will not be ready within 2 years. He's not the athlete Lamar is. I think Lamar as a passer got unappreciated in college. I mean, it wasn't the best, but he was capable. Like, he wasn't leaving a lot on the field. Like, Lamar was a big chunk play guy in college when he did pass the ball. So, I mean, we see that in the NFL. Like, typically when he passes, it's a chunk play. It's about a 10-yard gain or something like that, you know? Like, he doesn't do a whole lot of checking down when he passes. So, you can see there's ability there. I didn't see any of that with Jalen. Actually, the most disturbing part, I think, of watching Jalen on film is that it got to a point where Lincoln kind of gave up, and they end up being like an option offense.
Yeah, he got worse. A lot of people that watch all the OU games, I think I probably watched 5 or 6, but the guys that watch the OU games, man, they'll tell you that it was bad. It's just really bad. And you're talking about a team, he's got probably, some people believe, the best receiver in the draft, but the schematic advantage, the physical advantage his receivers have over the competition, it's like there's just no excuse for some of that stuff. And it's just – and then not even to mention that sometimes, it more often he should, he won't give up on the damn play, and he'll make a back-breaking bad throw. And you're just like, what the hell was that?
Yeah. And honestly, I've never – I try not to look at – too much going on when I'm trying to analyze quarterbacks, because there's a lot going on with the quarterback, but I've never seen so many backs of corners when I was watching the Jalen Hurts film. Like, that, it's just like, it was disturbing how many times, like, when the corners had their backs to the receivers. Like, just social distancing was very rampant in a lot of those plays, and for that to happen, I just feel like I should have seen better, and I didn't. So, I will probably get you back on for a couple other positions. I think I'm going to bring Chase in for offensive line because he really likes offensive line. So I think it'd be good.
He's doomsday. He's not even a fan anymore. He's not a Patreon supporter, man. I don't know if we can have him on.
Not?
I'm just joking.
Oh, all right. We'll discuss that.
That's a good shout out. No. He you know, his business is going on and all that stuff. But I definitely want to do the receivers. But yeah,
okay.
You're not gonna do offensive line. You gonna do offensive line anytime soon?
It varies.
Nobody wants
I know nobody
you
wants to
that.
Listen to that.
So
forget all y'all, man. Y'all gonna start respecting my trench work. Now we can do receivers and running
that
backs.
That needs to be deep into the. That needs to be deep into the quarantine. Where people are very, very bored. Like the end of April or May.
We'll do receivers because I think a lot of people are interested in the receivers. And
well,
and I'm
Jeff
just going.
Jeff would be good.
Yeah,
Jeff is good to have
him. I'll just be completely biased and let you know. I don't care what anybody says. Judy's the best receiver I've seen in years, so I don't want to hear anything. He's my number one. But I'll definitely get on that. Anybody that catches this, just to end, the QB draft is not that deep this year, honestly. Stretching it with five is what we just did and added in a six in Hurts because people keep talking about him. But he's not anywhere near the rest of these guys. I'm along the lines of Ronnie. I'm going to stop at Herbert, so that's four, because he was our fourth. I would stop with him. Like, you can give me Burrow, Tua any day. I can work with Jordan Love, depending on the situation. I can probably work with Herbert. But after that, I don't really want anything to do with these guys. So,
I don't either.
Yeah, but we will definitely
Nate
have
Stanley,
more
baby.
Than five receivers.
Nate Stanley over Hurts. Nate Stanley. I'm pulling the trigger on that, bro. PFF had Hurts 10th ranked quarterback in the draft. Like, it's just an ugly look. If you're looking for a pro trait, it's just an ugly, ugly look, man.
Yeah, if you wanted to post that, I'll probably heart that and be like, yep, I support this message. But yeah, hey, appreciate it, man. Thanks for calling in.
All right, no problem.
This has been the first episode of Top 5, Top 5, which I'm hoping post-quarantine we'll transition this to other sports, not just football, but just do specifically a top 5 position or a top 5 team like conversation and just talk about who we think are the top 5 right now at whatever subject matter we're talking about. So this has been the first episode, and we just talked about the QBs. In closing, our QBs are number one, Joe Burrow, number two, Tua Tagovailoa, number three, Jordan Love, number four, Justin Herbert, and number five, Jake Fromm. You guys, make sure you support, listen to us on iTunes, share, also give us a review. This has been Abi Azizis signing off.